Oh man, I can't believe it. I mean, this news coming out of, I think, Brazil, where you've got these insects that are going to be coming up into through Central America and then into the United States and causing all sorts of public health issues, problems, and I'm just like terrified. I've seen all these news reports and everything, but this happened several years ago when it was the African killer bees, and it turned out to be a bunch of nothing, and now it sounds like we've got another issue here with these Zika mosquito thingies. And look, what do I know about science? I know nothing about science, so I thought, okay, who can I get who actually does know what he's talking about? Because I'm getting, they're scaring the bejeebers out of me regarding these mosquitoes that are now in Florida. Maybe they're going to come to the Pittsburgh area here. I'm going to get the Zika virus. My head's going to shrink, or God only knows what's going to happen. Anyway, so there's this big deal PR firm based in Atlanta. So I reach out to them and I say, do you have like the guy who understands the science of this thing, not the hype, but the science of this thing, somebody who's into microbiology stuff and labs and, white lab coats and all that? And I said, oh, have we got a guy for you? Oh, my God, your listeners are going to love him. His name is Mike Daugherty. He's president and CEO of LabMed. They're based in Atlanta, clinical, anatomical, medical lab, national client base. They analyze and diagnose blood and urine, tissue specimens, you name it. They do it. This is the guy. And oh, by the way, he's also a great speaker because he also wrote this runaway bestseller, The Devil Inside the Beltway. So make sure that you mention that too, because the guy's like multi-talented. Would you like him for about 15 minutes? And I said, heck yeah. Well, here he is. So Mike Daugherty, welcome to One Dimitri Radio. How you doing?
Well, I'm very flattered, and my mother will send you a thank you note, but it's good to be with you.
All right, so what exactly is this mosquito, and what's the Zika virus, and is my head actually going to shrink to the size of a tennis ball?
No, but, you should never go live off Google University or the Google School of Medicine, because that's what happens. You get scared about everything that's bad that can happen.
Yes, and, yes.
So it's let's start with, the facts, and... the issue here is this is a disease that's extremely rare, and it's bloodborne. So bloodborne means you have to have a direct connection into the bloodstream, and the mosquito carries it and will infuse you. But mosquitoes carry lots of things, and this is why we have immune systems. And this is not anything that's going to kill you, like AIDS. This is something to be very concerned about if you're pregnant. Now, I don't think you're pregnant. I know I'm not pregnant. So I think we can wipe away half of the population. And then we've got women, and most of them aren't pregnant. So we just have to be careful if you are pregnant and know, because it can damage the fetus. The fetus is who really gets the brunt of this with that type of infection. So the other people are going to have light symptoms, maybe severe symptoms would be joint pain and fatigue and that type of thing. And there's no cure. You just treat the symptoms because it's a virus. But let's just all keep in perspective. What's fanning the flames of this is it's coming through more touristy areas like Florida. And when people get all phobic and frantic, they overreact and they don't want to go down to Disney World or the beaches. And then it hurts millions of dollars of tourism, and it's the anxiety that is really doing more economic damage than the physical damage.
All right, give me a thumbnail history of this thing. This started in Brazil, is that right?
Yeah, and I mean this is not the newest disease in the world. It's just never come up here, and we have a much more mobile world, and then it's just it's something to watch because it's severe to pregnant women, and we certainly want to protect them, so we want to inform everybody about that. But it's just started to move, and, it's just something that you got to keep in perspective. And then when it finally was identified of being in the Miami area, that's the first place they saw it on land. That's fairly recent. There's 14 cases. 12 of them were men, and it's an
isolated... Whoa, wait a minute. I thought it was only affecting pregnant women.
Well, you can get affected, but you're not going to have anything really, really bad happen to you. What happens really, really bad is the birth defects to the fetus. So that's why pregnant women have to be careful. Men can get it. It's not that you can't get it, but it's not going to do terrible harm to you.
What is it going to do? Let's say if I get bitten, my luck, I get bitten by bugs all the time. I hate bugs. They hate me. So if I get bitten by the Zika virus mosquito, what happens to me? Anything?
Well, maybe nothing, because everybody's different. Or maybe just low-grade fever and joint aches, and that's probably it, and some fatigue, and a rash, red eyes, fever, and that's it. Okay, so a rash and joint pain could be the worst, and then you treat the symptoms. So, and you have to be diagnosed with it. I mean, we might have had it around and people have missed it because, again, the only long-term bad effects are with the fetus, not even the mother. So you have to, that's what you have to do. And you treat the symptoms. Mm-hmm. You know, a common cold's a virus. So there's no cure. So you just treat the symptoms.
Okay.
And there's very few places that can actually test for it, like CBC tests it. And so you could see your doctor and they could send something off and you could get specifically diagnosed.
All right. Slow down. The CDC is the Center for Disease Control, and they're in Atlanta. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. So my doctor sends a blood sample. I say, Doc, I think I got this mosquito. It felt like a Zika virus-type mosquito this time, so take some blood. The doctor sends the blood to the CDC. What happens then?
Well, they run a microbiology. They run a test, for the organism and see if it's positive or not. And they're also going to ask you certain questions. The first thing they're going to ask you is, where have you traveled to?
Hmm.
He might not. If you've never been down to even if you've never been in that 1 square mile of the United States in Miami right now, he probably won't want you to do it. But if you were down in the other parts of the world where it's got more prevalence, then that's the first question they're going to ask. And then, he's going to make sure you qualify the test, and then he's going to pull the specimen and do it.
All right. Now, question. A lot of people, I'm guessing a lot of tourists, are going to be going down to Brazil, to Rio for the Olympics. So is it possible that in the next, couple of weeks or however long the Olympics are, then when the American tourists come back, there could be actually a big outbreak of this thing because you got so many Americans coming back from, Zika Central there in Brazil?
Well, remember, it's blood-borne. So other than mosquitoes flying between each other, you're not going to get it from a sneeze. You're not going to get it from dirty hands. So the odds of it spreading a lot, it's only through sexual contact possibly or transfusions, in theory not proven. So highly unlikely unless you scoop up the mosquitoes and bring them with you.
Mm.
Because the mode of transmission human to human is pretty much only sexual, and that's if there's blood. And, that's not common.
I don't know. In Rio, during Carnival and all that, those Brazilians, they go a little crazy when it comes to sex, though. So I'm thinking maybe it might be more of an issue. I don't know. But
it could be. But then you have to come here. So, use condoms or don't have sex.
Okay. All right. I can deal with that.
But, again, it's not like a sneeze or hand washing or touching, it's not like that.
All right. So then help me understand. You're telling me, and again, you're the expert. You're the head of this lab MD in Atlanta. You're also the author of this book, The Devil Inside the Beltway, which, by the way, I want you to explain to my listeners at the end of the interview when you get the last word and go into more detail with that. But why am I hearing, if it doesn't sound like it's all that big a deal, very limited, and yet why is the media scaring the bejeebers out of me because of this thing?
Well, there's two issues. It is very severe to fetuses. There's fetal brain defects that are very severe. So they're giving that a huge piece, bell clanging. The other thing is our media today is about eyeballs. And if it's trending that people are going to watch this, and that's usually a lot of fear and anxiety. I call it the hurricane effect. You know how many times since we've had the Weather Channel, we hear all about hurricanes where we didn't hear about that 20 years ago? Because they build anxiety when it's way out off the coast of Africa, just everyone will watch their show and get worried. And it drives eyeballs, and eyeballs mean ratings, and ratings means advertiser dollars, and that means money. So, there certainly is whatever the public's pulling to, but as soon as we get educated, I think it'll die down. But there is a valid concern. Pregnant women should be warned, but we have to keep, you know, proper perspective. Knowledge is power. Proper perspective. Knowledge is power. Say that real fast three times.
All right. Now, question. Does a woman have to be pregnant and then she has sex with some guy who has the Zika virus and that's the problem? Or could she not be pregnant, have sex with a guy that has the Zika virus, then she gets a baby, she becomes pregnant, and then that's a problem? I mean, what does the baby have to come first or what?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I don't know because I'm not an MD, so I'm going to put that asterisk saying, here's my pretty educated guess. She's got to be pregnant because it's not in the body that long. But, and, you know, it's not going to hang around the body a long time and incubate. And she should be over it relatively quickly. But as far as that goes, I think it's pretty sure that has to be. And it doesn't have to be sex. It can be a mosquito bite. That's the best I can tell you in full disclosure.
All right. Well, fair enough, Mike. Now, one other question. This is something that I've never understood. Pittsburgh area is the home of this woman, Rachel Carson, who wrote this book, Sod and Spring, a million years ago, and said, we're using DDT and it's killing all the animals and we have to stop using DDT. And the environmental groups turned her into a saint-like creature. She was never a scientist. She was just a writer. She meant well. There's no question about it. And clearly there was some truth to what she had written. But from the little that I've read online, again, I get all my information on the Internet, so about half the time I think I might be right about a quarter of the stuff that comes out of my mouth. So let me run this by you because you're the expert. If we had started using, like all throughout the world, Brazil, America, wherever, if we would start using the right amounts of DDT, wouldn't all these mosquito problems kind of go away?
No, because science isn't very cooperative like that. It's not on-off, black-white. It's all about adaptation, constant adaptation and defenses. And, you know, when any organism gets attacked, it can over time, like a Darwinian project, build up defenses. So if we use antibiotics and certain chemicals, over time, the environment builds an immunity to those things. And there's some reports that there's some of these mosquitoes are difficult to kill off with the current pesticides.
Well, that's just it. But that's just it. I'm saying because we have not used DDT in a million years, and apparently it was really effective when we did, if we started using the right amounts of DDT today, wouldn't that solve the problem, at least for the foreseeable future?
No, you solve one problem, you create another. So it depends on what the right amount is and who's using the right amount and who's effective, because not everyone's it's just not black and white like that. So there's always a cost-benefit analysis. There's always cost-benefit, probability versus severity. And that's for, you know, I mean, you're sitting here, we've got in the United States, we have 14 people, 12 of them men, that they're having this right now. It's somewhat difficult to get. We're not going to start whipping out the DDT. There's just no such thing. I mean, you know, we're physical human organisms on this planet, and disease is part of the deal.
Okay, again, being the head of this lab MD there in Atlanta, and you understand all about urine samples, blood diagnoses, and all this kind of stuff, you'd mentioned just a little bit here about how some of these bugs, these viruses, these microbes, whatever the hell they're called, create their own immune system, and now it becomes tougher and tougher for antibiotics to work. Is that right?
Correct.
How do they know to do this? How do they? These things don't have brains. How do they develop this thing where now antibiotics? Now we can't use antibiotics. That really sucks, I think.
Well, it's not. Well, we can use antibiotics. It's just, I mean, and we develop new ones, and we trick it, and they keep moving, and we keep moving. But it's not brains. It's just nature's response. And so, you know, it is, well, how do I, it, you know, to oversimplify it, it's just, it's kind of like a constant adjusting tennis match on both sides. I mean, you know, it comes to you and you adjust and change, and then you hit it back and it adjusts and change, and that's what goes on in trying to defeat disease. I mean, it's so much better than when we didn't have it. You know, the thing about the younger generation now is that they've got no memory of even probably grandparents that had to be in tuberculosis hospitals or polio issues or, you know, or typhoid. They don't have any direct contact with people that had to suffer from that or be isolated from their family for months. I mean, we've had a pretty, really good run the past 30, 40 years. And so people are a little unfamiliar with these type of diseases that could run through. We don't have the plague, you know, like they had in the 15th, 16th century that wipes out tons. I mean, probably the worst thing we have is the flu, you know, and that changes every year also. They have to guess every year. They have to guess what's going to be the strain that's going to be so prevalent when they make up the flu shots and immunize people. So it's just a chess match between science and our scientists.
Okay, I do not get a flu shot because I don't trust the government to get anything right. They might sometimes, of course, but they usually are just such royal screw-ups that I take my chances. Do you get a flu shot every year?
No.
Why?
Because I'm so busy, I keep forgetting.
Oh,
I'm a terrible
please.
Patient. People
oh,
in medicine,
please,
look, men are the
Michael.
Worst patients. People in medicine are the worst patients.
Come
I'm the terrible
on.
Patient.
Oh, man.
I've had flu shots before. I've had the pneumonia shot. Usually, I'm so busy, next thing I know, it's February, and I might as well forget it.
Oh, for the love of
so,
God.
But I don't have a problem with taking it.
Yeah.
You know, so I, you know, it's interesting. And if I was elderly, I'd take it. If I was older, because again, it's like, it's all weighing. It's just not black and white. This is not, you know, there's no money back guarantee on your body. You have to take it up with God when you die. It's just the fact of the matter is, what can happen to you if you get the flu? If you're especially elderly or immunosuppressed, it's probably worth taking it to take the risks.
Yeah, and a lot of people. And I'm going to give you the last word here in a couple of seconds. But the one last thought, one last question. It's my understanding that something as simple as the flu kills thousands, if not tens of thousands, of Americans every year. It doesn't seem to be any big deal.
Well, we're used to it, right? It's built into our expectation, and that doesn't sell eyeballs, right? Because the media wants to pull in eyeballs and shock and whatever drives. It's the newness. It's the surprise. That's what pulls people's attention. So, but it's a very good point. I mean, We also don't put the number of heart attacks up on the news at 6 o'clock, you know. 5,400 people died today of heart attacks and 7,000 died of, I mean, we don't do that. So it's just the disease fear, the anxiety is what sells.
You should actually write a book about that as well. Look, I always give my guests the last word, and I know you're very pressed for time because, you know, everybody and his brother wants to interview you regarding the Zika virus thing in your book. So I'm going to hand you my Shure SM7B dynamic microphone, and this is your opportunity to speak directly to my listeners and to say any key points that you want, repeat key points, and certainly mention your book and also go into detail about it, because I think a lot of my listeners would be very interested in what you have to say, because, boy, you are telling them the truth. You're not telling them the media hype at all. So, Mike Dougherty, president and CEO of LabMD in Atlanta, my microphone is yours.
Well, you know, as far as Zika goes, I would say, look, knowledge is power. Use the Google in the right way and go to the CDC website and go just, and they've got a really nice, clean explanation with even pictures, and go learn about it. And then if you're nervous, then that's knowledge is power, and it's there. You know, I go directly to the source of the research, not listening to a bunch of unqualified, untrained people to, you know, fan flames. That's not what you want to do with Google. Now, as far as my book, it's interesting because there I was innocently working in medicine for 30 some odd years, and my book is about my laboratory being hacked, and it's called The Devil Inside the Beltway, and I speak around about it all over the country. And Business Week did a huge profile, so to get the long story, I'd send your readers to Google Business Week, LabMD, FTC, and really it's about how a hacker was playing a nice guy when he was lying, saying he found our files with 9,000 patients elsewhere. I didn't believe him. He turned me over to the government. The government turned out to be working with him, and they investigated me and sued me. And in my fighting back, I wrote the book. And the book resulted in a congressional investigation, congressional hearings, and a whistleblower that came out and threw the government under the bus and said they were working with these crooks and they're incompetent. And the Justice Department got involved and they gave them criminal immunity. And now this has been going on for 7 years, and you can get it all in Business Week to see that the FBI just raided these guys about 2 months ago. But you have to push back because some people in the government are so incompetent. When they screw it big time, they cover it up instead of apologize. So the book's all over Amazon, an ebook, audiobook, hardcover, and softcover. You can also get the electronic book at iTunes, and it's The Devil Inside the Beltway, and the website's thedevilinsidethebeltway.com. And it's an exciting insider's book written like a novel about how the government really works.
Amazing. Mike Doherty, a terrific guest. Wonderful, wonderful information. The Devil Inside the Beltway. By all means, everybody, buy extra copies and give it away as friends, and watch out for those mosquitoes. And, Mike, you have a great day. We'll get you back on again real soon, okay?
Good talking to you. Thanks for the time.
Footballers, for so long, impossible to get close to. But that was then, and this is now. With BT Sport, you can see them on your own terms. Sky TV customers, keep your Sky box and switch your broadband to BT. Or get BT Broadband with BT TV. If you've got Freeview, sign up to BT Broadband and watch online. BT Sport will show 42 Premier League matches, all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games, plus up to 24 Emirates FA Cup matches. 4 competitions, 1 venue. BT Sport.